I'm really happy to be here to be invited to come share some thoughts that I've been having recently, and not all my thoughts, I'll spare you that, but in regards to my practice, the last time I had an opportunity to come talk up here, I talked about atonement. And this is what we start with when we take the precepts, actually. And I thought it was very interesting, but I always have these ambitions, so I'll do a talk on, a Dogen thing or something, but it seems to me best that I just need to stick with just a few words. Like, that's about all I can feel comfortable working with. So I've been reflecting on taking refuge. And what that means for me, and specifically taking refuge in the three treasures. Three treasures: Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. When I started thinking about this, I realized that I have been taking, probably all of us, have been taking refuge our whole life. This is not a new concept. Taking refuge, I believe, in the Latin sense is, in our Webster dictionary, is to seek refuge, means to go to a place of safety, to where you feel protected, away from danger, a shelter. So when we're kids, when I felt threatened, or I ran to my mother, right? I sought refuge. Like my mother in my home, later in the refrigerator, later in drinking. Whenever I had problems, issues, crisis come up, I saw, I'm in trouble. I'm going to seek refuge. Where am I going to go? Looking back now, it just seems so clear that I was really avoiding pain by taking refuge. When I worked a lot, when Mark and I both worked a lot, we would seek refuge literally by going away on weekends. We would go someplace pretty, someplace that would take care of us, nurture us, like a bed and breakfast, or camping up in the woods or something. So thinking about the words of what refuge means, I'm proposing that we probably all have done that one way or the other. Where do we go to be safe or get away from danger or get away from something that's uncomfortable? It's a pretty natural thing to, as humans, to avoid it. And taking refuge in the three treasures, I realize it's just totally the opposite of that in a way. Not taking refuge in, my previous idea of taking refuge was, it's not really any different now. It's consciously get away from suffering. In taking refuge in the three treasures, a way of looking at that is also seeking comfort, seeking refuge. But by doing so in the three treasures, it's not so much of getting away from your pain and suffering, as I was reflecting for myself, that now it's gives me the energy or the confidence to look at my pain and suffering. So taking refuge in Buddha is seeking, or is resting with the knowledge that Buddha was our first teacher, that Buddha is an example of someone that ended suffering, his own suffering. And when he became enlightened, sat there under that Bodhi tree, and he became enlightened. He didn't say, "I'm enlightened." you know, he touched the earth and said that I'm enlightened. All be. So that also includes us taking refuge in Buddha. So the traditional way of looking at that, of taking refuge in a Buddha, is an enlightened being. And it's not a savior. It's not some kind of deity or anything. This is being awake. He's an example for us. And he gave us the Dharma. So we have the teaching. Taking refuge in the Four Noble Truths. The Eightfold Path. Taking refuge in sitting. Looking at ourselves. In a much more traditional sense of what the Dharma is. And then Sangha, taking refuge in Sangha. It sure felt good to come, after I'm late and I get here in the park. And I sat down on the cushion, I'm like, it felt really good. It always feels really good to come here to Jokoji to sit. I see all these kind of strange people walking around. They look, I was looking at them like, are they bird watching? What are they doing? They all have little notebooks or hats on. It's really nice. And then noticing what's done, the weeds and the flowering, feverfew, and finally got this little bridge fixed over here where the drain was in the corner. Excellent job, whoever did that. Thank you very much. And so I enjoy sitting on this cushion for many reasons, the energy and the place. And that's the Sangha for me too, it's the community, knowing that the people practice here and knowing that I'm coming to sit with other people that take it to some degree to spend a Sunday morning or afternoon up here at Jokoji with me, with all of us. So in that sense, in the traditional sense, the Sangha is originally meant the first few people that were Buddha's disciples and later enlarged to nuns and spiritual community. And we all know that the Sangha is everyone, enlarged, very much enlarged. I was reading a bit about different points of view about the refugees and taking refuge. Pema Chodron, in her perspective, as a few others, is that we've all heard this too, I believe, that the Buddha is the doctor, the Dharma is the medicine, and the Sangha is the nurse. I find very interesting. Because again, it infers that you're sick, you're taking refuge, or you're not feeling well. And Sangha, I've always just been fascinated with Sangha because I have this really idealistic view about Sangha, of course, is that we come and because we're all practicing, that it's all harmonious. Well, the true aspect of Sangha is bumping into each other. Again, that's the rubber meeting the road. Counting on people they don't even have to tell me about my neurosis. It just comes up when I'm meeting them. I just love it. Whenever my nemesis or somebody's there, it's like, golly, why is this mirror the Sangha always here for? We're taking refuge. Learning more about ourselves. There's so many aspects. I started, again, thinking about it. And then, of course, I always like to confuse myself with lots of different readings about it and all different traditions. That's just kind of the personality type I am. But it helps to kind of sort it out and affirm it. Even though it's all words, like Angie says, taking refuge in the three treasures, again, here we are, we're trying to talk about the untalkable. You know, what is this, the three treasures? Well, we have a teacher, we have the teaching, and then we have us. On another level of taking the refugees, I was talking more about the relative aspect of it. Like the first things that come to my mind of taking refuge. And the next level that, or another aspect of it, is more aligned with our tradition, so the Zen tradition, the how the Japanese interpret taking refuge. Dogen, let's see if I can find that quote. Dogen said, "The essence of true transmission of the Bodhidharma is taking refuge in the three treasures." And how Dogen and how Kogen, and how it's interpreted in from the refuge in the Japanese, is to not so much take refuge as much as going back, to fly back, to return, to rely on. So in fact, when we take Jukai in our tradition, when we do take the three refuges, most often we don't say, "I take refuge in Buddha, I take refuge in Dharma, I take refuge in Sangha." We say, "Return to Buddha, return to Dharma, return to Sangha." And how Dogen, how he explains it, and Dada Lori adopted the same way, is as a child is throwing themselves into the arms of their father. John Dada Lori, in one of his descriptions, is when he would set his kids up on the dresser at home when they're little. We probably might have, if we trusted our fathers, I guess, they would jump into the air. You would jump into the air, arms of your father. Total ban, you can rely on that. So, in that case, what Kogen talks about it is it's the homage to the Buddha, and he sees it as to be as him is the true homage. Homage to the Dharma. The Dharma is not like knowledge. Dharma is the closest thing to us, truth. Making it so that it's not so abstract either. It's just right here. It's just right here. Just as homage to the Sangha is we, is another word for I. Return to Buddha. Return to Dharma. Return to Sangha. So I couldn't wonder about the refugees. I mean, I can think and reflect and read about it and try to come to what I think is an understanding of it. But it's about the practice, isn't it? I always think, I mean, there is so much information available out there, and we're all really pretty smart people, at least I know everybody in this room is. So if we just, you know, knew the information and were really smart, we'd just be enlightened, right? And then they'd have all these enlightened beings walking around all the time. But it's not that way, is it? Because we have to embody it. We have to experience it. It's fun. I had a silly notion this morning. I got in the car to come here. And I had to adjust my rearview mirror. I was sitting up more upright. And I said, oh, I'm wondering if this is because I fell asleep and dreamed about the refugees, and I'm embodying some of it, you know, being upright, taking refuge. And then I realized I had a Pilates lesson, so it just made me more upright to adjust in here. They say that Dogen, when he was dying, the practice that he took on were the three refugees. He wrote in big letters and put up on a pillar the three words, Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. And when he was sick, and when he could, he would circulate. He would walk around this pillar. Practicing with the three treasures. It's again, it using metaphors of Buddha being the doctor, Buddha is also giving us the foundation. The Dharma is like the threshold, or the, you know, the actual doorway. And for us, or me, or as I, as we, as the Sangha, I have to enter through it. I have to actually move through it. I have to be in action. I have to be in my body to realize the three treasures. So in this sense, for me, I'm feeling more of taking refuge in Buddha is helping me realize that we can be enlightened, that we are Buddhas, that our original nature, the ocean of essential truth, of this untalkable thing, is available to not only Buddha, but to everyone. So it kind of like came all the way around in a circle for me again as I'm thinking about it, is that now I feel that taking the three treasures or taking refuge and thinking, feeling, and buying the three treasures is around having some type of faith. Faith about realization helping all sentient beings, which is essentially who the Sangha is. And it's our practice, huh? The Dharma. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's are some few of my thoughts. And Kunane, I'd like to finish up and have some discussion, because I'd like to know your thoughts and feelings about refugees, as I see that Artenzo has been bringing out some lunch out to the picnic tables and hear a bell and whatnot. But Kunane, our woodcutting sixth ancestor, I just always have a soft place for him. And I can almost hear him. And when I came to this place in the Platform Sutra, which is from the 8th century, and it's believed to be the compilings of his teachings, but I sometimes have, I just hear his voice. Good friends. Good friends. Take refuge in enlightenment, the Buddha, the most honored among two-legged beings. Take refuge in the truth, the Dharma, the most noble doctrine which sets people free from the desires. Take refuge in purity, the Sangha, the most honored among all sentient beings. And he goes on to explain it a bit more. But then he goes, good friends, each of you must observe well for himself or herself. Do not mistakenly use your minds. This is where I'm saying, you know, I can think a lot, but does that do much for me? And it's up to us how we're going to use it. Good friends, each of you must observe well for himself. Do not mistakenly use your minds. The sutras say to take refuge in the Buddha within yourselves. They do not say to rely on other Buddhas. If you do not rely upon your own natures, there is nothing else on which to rely. For me, it was kind of funny to think, you know, in fact, this bowing thing, for me, at first it just felt really weird. You know, it was like a novelty. Oh, put your hands together, gosh, go, gosh. It gives me a lot of relief. So it's kind of funny. I do it in public sometimes now. And again, you know, the culture thing. It is, you know, they like kind of look at me, oh, this woman's got a screw loose, you know. Oh, it's Donna Lynn. Oh, okay, yeah. I'm not so bashful to do it anymore. Kind of like tugging away, and then I go, oh, there's that damn ego again, you know. Same ego that was not wanting me to, you know, do it. Now, here it is, showing itself again. It's very interesting. And again, it's that embodying of this Dharma, embodying this refuge. I believe that we literally had people try it more instead of saying they're not going to do it. They might feel it differently. But you're right, it's not very well accepted. But then I do it in strange places, you know. But, you know, after Shashin, you know, bowing, going into the Zendo, I caught myself, you know, going to the grocery store, and they open the double door. The air blows on you, and then you walk in. My question. Some believe that to take refugees in the three treasures, that is our path. That is our vow, publicly, to become Buddhist. So in a sense, in doing that, taking refuge, you become homeless. It's the idea of no attachment. Right? Of all these words that we use about when you're a refugee, you don't have a home because you leave home. You don't have any belongings. You shaved your head of all of that. So in a sense, being a true refugee was like that. Could be viewed that way, could be embodied that way. Which I thought was interesting because I love to sing at night after Shashin, when we go to bed before the our 9 or 3 vows that we do, taking refuge. How we sing it in the Pali. Dharmam, Saram, Gacchamam. And we all sing that. And I think, you know, you look around and not all people that sing that are committed to maybe the Buddhist way of life. But we can still take that as a refuge. So it's a whole other layer, huh? I see bluebirds out there. It's making me nervous around our food. Maybe we should go eat. Lunch. It's a heck of an idea. Let's just sit here just a second. Remember where we're at, and then the Doan will ring a bell in 1 minute. Let's put our seats back and bow out. How's that? Thank you very much. Thank you. Appreciate your participation.